Welcome back to the Seed in Society podcast. We have a really great guest for you today. Again, I am Makeda, your Chief Action Officer, and let us welcome Audrey the Tech Diva Wiggins. She is the founder of Altogether Marketing. She's a seasoned brand strategist, entrepreneur, and host of the Tech Diva Biz Talks podcast.
Curious about owning land, growing your own food, or building income that doesn't depend on you showing up every day? That's what I'm doing, and this is where I share exactly how. Welcome to Seed in Society. I'm Makeda Boehm, an AI strategist, homesteader, and tech sales leader turning paychecks into lasting multi-million dollar wealth. I use automation, food-producing land, and digital income streams to build real assets and long-term freedom for my family and help others do the same. If you're done trading time for survival and want to build on your own terms, you're in the right place.
So with over 30 years of experience in marketing and digital communications, she helps organizations and entrepreneurs elevate visibility, build trust, and boost sales through smart tech-forward strategies. Audrey's energy, insights, and stories inspire audiences to embrace innovation while staying true to their brand. Welcome to the Seed in Society podcast, Audrey.
Thank you so much, Makeda. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So let's kind of dig into it. 30 years of experience is nothing to sneeze at. How did you get into marketing? And let's just learn a bit about you.
Oh, my God. You know, some things you literally fall into because it's something that you do and you don't know that's what you're doing. And, you know, so it goes back, you know, as far back as church groups and just having the plays or whatever it is. And somehow I was always the publicity person. And and I'm friend of mine did fashion shows and I did a program, just a one sheet of paper, folded in half program, and there weren't computers, so it was a typewriter. So my graphic ability was like had geometric, you know, with the eyes, and I was able to center stuff and write justify. It was kind of crazy, you know, cut and paste graphics and make a copy. And I just kept going from there and, you know, learned more about what it was and to develop those skills where it's weird, though, because they were always like in the background or on the side. So it wasn't until later in life that I actually had jobs doing it. But I had always had some kind of business.
Okay. No, that is super cool. So our audience definitely likes to know about business, founding, entrepreneurship. And honestly, we've been focusing a lot over here at Seed in Society about like personal branding and bringing in, you know, the marketing aspect, because I think when it's someone like you who is an expert in something, it can, you know, sometimes you forget that some people have no idea what this even means. So can you talk about what it is that your business does?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Makeda. Yeah. So you mentioned personal branding, so that will be one aspect, but also we focus mainly on the business, you know, the brand of a business, but we are an extension of our business, right? So we are the brand as well. So carrying that in that process or framework as well. So you may want to think about, well, what does my business represent? And maybe it's a construction business or maybe it's a business that consults with, you know, high level executives. So whichever it is, you know, from your logo, but that's not the whole thing. So I don't want to get hung up on graphics, but whatever it is, the imagery and the wording, your messaging needs to flow in that direction. So you're speaking to that audience, basically. I know we talked about niche earlier before we had, I got here, some of our conversations. And so that's kind of, you want to focus there and then branch out. Okay. So what would my niche resonate with?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to go deeper into that, like with Seed in Society. So this started really as a case study. And it still is a case study. It's building in public. I talk about this on my most recent podcast. Like I started 3 months ago, almost 4 months ago now, and I had no idea what a podcast really was. And
it was just, I started, didn't know what I was, you know, what it was
Yeah, it's just become so pivotal to any kind of business strategy. I think that we're in a different wave, or it's just more awareness, I should say now, where a lot of people before, it's like the podcast is the business, like this is a goal. And I think that's why I talk about this statistic, how 90% of podcasters quit by episode 3, because they go into it probably not with a strategy or thinking they can monetize it and realize like the podcast itself probably isn't going to make direct sponsorship money or partnerships money or listener money. However, from a marketing strategy, it becomes pretty integral. I know that that's something that you touch on. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah. And I actually had recently created a course too, you know, for treat your podcast like a business, like you said. So some people, maybe that is their business, but as we bring it alongside, it's, as you mentioned, maybe it's just a communications tool, another avenue to promote your business. And in doing that, you get your eyes on some more folks. So perhaps you have commercials in your podcast, and it may be your own commercial, maybe a product or service that you offer. I'm trying to say podcast and progress at the same time, but keep your podcast aligned with your business. And I know over this past year, I've been trying to do that a little bit more because I was kind of, you know, on the peripherals and want to tighten it up a little bit and bring it closer to the bullseye. And so this becomes, we're talking about marketing and advertising, and customer service plays a role in that, messaging, communications, technology. So all of those things. So how does, you know, weaving that into your podcast messaging, your interviews, you know, so how does that relate to your business? So it should be an extension if it's part of another business. So that's, you know, and then carry the, you know, the branding along with that. So at one point I had a totally different brand as far as the look goes. So if, with the Tech Diva Biz Talks, the coloring scheme is pretty much in line with the scheme with Altogether Marketing and any other offsprings that I have. If it's a course website or the domain, whatever it is, it carries that similar coloring scheme. It's different, but similar.
Yeah, no, this is fascinating. I recently had someone else on the podcast who's a brand strategist and kind of going through like what it is for a brand. I would love to hear you describe to the audience and to me, what is a brand to you? And what are kind of like some of those key details that you need to think about whenever you start to think about a brand?
Wow. Let's see. So a brand for me would be, oh gosh, that it's kind of like backwards engineering or something, because it's, you know, the feeling, you know, what is it, what resonates or what impact am I having on somebody or an entity, an organization? So part of that, my brand would be the core values that I might bring. So my brand may be serious or leadership or warm. So I like to think about it like that. So out of that, so how does that communicate to the market that you're trying to attract as well? So it's a whole big umbrella or, you know, a chasm of things. If you want to pick them apart, like I said, I started before when we were talking, I said the message. So what is that message? You know, who are you serving? And so how do you bring those in? So that brand is a representation. So when somebody is looking for this or that particular thing, then maybe you come top of mind for them. So you fit in that category. So if they're searching on one of the search engines, then your company will show up in their search.
Okay. No, like that's super interesting to think about. I am going into my keynote speaking era. I'm doing kind of Mic Drop Academy with Jess Ekstrom. And one of the key pillars with that is she talks about like a podcast, and she has like a top 10 podcast called Amplify. And her podcast is all about kind of like women speaking and just kind of how different skills you can take as like a public speaker, which feeds into her brand perfectly. And seeing that, I started to really think about like, what does Seed in Society teach its audience. Like, who are we trying to reach? Who are we trying to talk to? And what I've keep coming across is a lot of people saying, like, whenever you're doing an offer or having a product or having any kind of business, you need to think about, like, the person you're talking to. Do you subscribe to that belief, or do you have a different way that you think about it?
No, I actually do subscribe to that. And you also made me think about, like, what is a person, what are their feelings? Say, for instance, if it was one of the colas, you know, how does that feel? Looking at that brand, it's not just the white and red can, you know, and the fancy letters there. So that is the brand representation. So it's recognizable when you see it. But what is it really? It's a nice, cool, bubbly drink with a caramel flavoring that, you know, that goes down the back of your throat on a hot day. So that's part of it as well. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I like what you're talking about, like the imagery that it evokes, because especially when you're like a household brand, like, you know, Coca-Cola or anything like that. Yeah, or I don't know if we, oh, I'm sure we can. We're talking right, about no marketing.
Right,
interesting because one of my marketing professor actually during my MBA program was a marketer at Coca-Cola for like a decade.
Wow.
And just kind of talking about it from that aspect, I actually found marketing to be one of my more challenging classes because it's so much more of a science than just an art. And I think that a lot of people have that perception. What would you say to that? Or how would you describe marketing?
A science, definitely. I mean, because in the beginning, because I'm all about the advertising, the, you know, the sexy part of the business, right? I'm going to design this, I'm going to write that. So that's all the fun stuff. And I always hated marketing. But the age that we live in, marketing is more fun. Because for one thing is when you look at statistics and you can find the numbers and they make sense, you know, because they're easier to get to. It's easier to quantify something in a digital marketing age, the digital marketing age that we live in. And that's what excites, that's what marketing, you know, that's what excites me about it now that I'm glad to be a part of it. You still have to do your research, you know, who's your competitors? What are they doing? So, like I said, all that background stuff you have to do before you can get to the fun part of your business. But yeah, definitely. I think marketing is a science.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that up, like in this day and age, because we talk about a lot of AI here and how specifically how AI can help with your business and it can help with your like just entire strategy, how you can strategize your life, whether it's a homestead or a consulting business or a course. And what you said was so true, because before getting just certain data, like a total addressable market, a TAM, or what, you know, what were the statistics or the projections for an industry? Now it's a quick search on ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity. You don't have to go through a whole blog and find the juicy bits just because it wanted to rank on, you know, SEO optimization. And that could be a different conversation for a different time, because you still kind of have to do that. But people now like the top of the line, the top information. And like you said, it's so much easier nowadays. Like before, people had to do a focus group, like how you have those commercials and it's two people sitting in a room and, you know, all of these different people and reading different headlines to them. And it was expensive and very time consuming. Now you can literally just do a quick search and have all of this information put together to you. And it almost begs the question again, like, what are you waiting for? Why not start a business? And that's why I've claimed a few episodes ago, I'm chief action officer, because I'm all about getting started. Do it now. And you are someone who has been in the business world for decades and has started a business, or probably several, because usually business owners don't just start the first one. And I'd love to hear about like your insights on anything I said or starting a business?
Yep, definitely starting a business. And sometimes you start with something that you like or something that you know that you can make money at. You know, basically, a lot of times it'll come from innovation. I'm not an innovator, so I haven't created anything. You know, you talk about courses, but that's a whole different, I think, avenue as far as, you know, a course business, selling your knowledge. But so I have that. And what? Oh, I had a nail studio. I got in the cell phone. I mean, that cell phone business, that was probably months. That didn't last, you know, long. And because some things you have to be present for. And, you know, so it was a friend of mine. He had a car wash, so a detail place. So it was cool because he had the glass case in the front. You can put the cell phones in there, you know. But well, that was crazy. And, you know, but it was fun. But, you know, so that multi-level marketing, you know, that's how I got started, you know, in the beginning with that, probably about 15, my mother introduced me because people were selling stuff. And so she introduced that to the young folks, right? You know, so that was fun. And I still, to this day, I still carry, you know, and offer some types of, you know, multi-level, you know, marketing products or services, you know, because a lot of times those, you find something that aligns with what you're already doing. So it becomes another product. But one thing I want to make sure, if I can just go a sidebar, if you're going to, whatever you do, if you want to add some, make sure that you stay, keep the main thing, because you can veer off, because you can get excited with those, you know, with different side businesses that you bring into your business as a revenue center, basically as a revenue center. Mm-hmm. But you have to make sure that you don't veer off too much, because you'll end up putting a lot of energy and time into that. And then your main business suffers from that. And so you never want to do that. You know, if you can bring a team in and you do it together, you know, that's great. But just making sure you keep that focus.
Yeah. And you said something so important when you started. You're like, when you think about a business, you think about what you can make money at. And I think that that's so important, because I know that a lot of us, especially people who are leaving corporate, or you know, it's usually like, hey, this is a passion project. And we hear that advice a lot. And I absolutely, and I see if you agree, I absolutely believe that you should care about what it is that you're doing, that you should have a level of passion for it.
Yeah.
But I also think that the definition of a business versus a hobby, and there's nothing wrong with the hobby, but a business is that it makes you money. And I think that a lot of times people don't necessarily go into it with that perspective. Like, of course, they think, hey, I want to make money, but they don't think about the actual monetization process. They don't vet it out enough.
Yeah, because you have to be a salesperson. And some people say, I hate sales. Well, then you need to be an employee. And then depending on what that job is, you still might be selling. You might be selling an idea. You might be selling a concept. Just because it's not a tangible item or coaching or some kind of consulting, it's you're still selling. And so just to get over that, that you're not a salesperson and you hate sales because you don't want to go up. I think a lot of times people think about the cold calling, whether it's, you know, doing this, even email sometimes can be cold calls. Or you're picking up your phone, or you're knocking on doors, and because that can be, you know, it can be challenging and discouraging, because you get all the no's and you have to think about all it. And we still go through the no's a certain amount of, you know, percentage until we get to those yeses, even, you know, in the digital age in which we live in. But you have to be a salesperson, and a salesperson is not influencing or making somebody believe in what you're selling. It's presenting. It goes back to the messaging, right? Not necessarily features and benefits, you know, the laundry list, which I think most of us start with, but what is the impact of those features and benefits? Turn our message, turn that into the message. So again, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
so then that speaks to whatever your bullseye is, whatever your market is, your niche that you're trying to attract. How does that impact them?
Yeah. So audience, I want to promise that we did not speak about this. I didn't tell her, but you heard it from the tech diva herself, that business is sales. So I don't know if you know this, I'm an enterprise account executive. I am a tech salesperson by trade.
Awesome.
I sell every day. I make cold calls every day. I send cold emails every day. And I love sales. And we're going to talk about this because you've hinted at it a few times, your course, because I'm going down the whole course rabbit hole.
Okay.
And
okay.
Every time it comes back to, what are you really good at? What do people ask you about? What do they ask you about at work? It's like, maybe the fact that I sold $10 million in software in the past 4 years, that it has made me $1 million in commissions, that sells, if you want to go all the way back to Madam C.J. Walker, the
yes.
first self-made female millionaire in America of any race, she was a saleswoman.
That's right.
A business owner. And I truly feel like I come from that legacy. And you said it best, like sales is not convincing anyone of anything. And I have a whole episode on this. So that's why I said, I promise I didn't, we didn't inspire on this. But I truly believe it is getting people the information that they need and the transformation they need and what it is that they want. And that is why I'm so passionate about sales. And I think that when we stop thinking of sales as a dirty word and start thinking of it as connection, people will change their lives. It transforms everything. And I'm living proof of it in the most literal way possible.
That's awesome. Congratulations, too. Oh, my
Thank
goodness.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. We are we're sales. I mean, when we come out of that our mother's womb, we are selling. I'm a cry. You give me what I want, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I talk about even if you're, you know, debating with your family or negotiating
yes.
with a coworker or asking someone to watch a movie with you or go see a movie. All of these embody the same principles of sales. And I think you really touched on the core aspect for a lot of people. I remember speaking to one of my therapists about this, who said that her most depressed clients are salespeople, because the natural human inclination is to reject rejection. We do not want people saying no to us. A lot of our defense mechanisms are because of that. It's why I feel like a lot of people don't go into business. However, with a salesperson, you're literally putting yourself out there again and again. And it's why we like to say certain people, oh, you're just super confident. You have charisma. That's why you're good in sales. But I argue with my connector method that it's taking the action, getting the evidence, and that builds confidence. And I could argue that that goes into business, that goes into starting a podcast. It goes into work, because eventually someone will say yes. And that yes is why you do it.
Right. And you hone your strategy and you say, okay, well, I sold this one. I had to talk to 10 people. Okay. So it goes back. So that's the marketing side of sales, right? So how many people do I need to talk to sell 10 of the widgets or 10 of your courses or whatever it is, and do it from, and then it becomes like, almost like a game, you know, because it's a strategy. You're the chief strategist. So it becomes a strategy that you go through. So then, you know, so you expect a certain amount of rejection. And, you know, so the person's not really rude, you know, let me down easy. Okay. Don't condescend and beat me up and ask me like why I'm in here trying to sell you this. No, but that was my little technique of language coming out.
We like authenticity over here. Okay. This is why it's unscripted. It's
yeah.
just flowing. We're literally just having a conversation. Yeah.
Girls, I love it. Yeah. So don't worry about it. We're gonna get it. In the beginning, it may hurt, you know, may bruise, because you might use, oh, especially sometimes you think you've got it together. You hold your script. You know what you're doing, and you talk about it. You know, it's like you practice maybe with somebody or just yourself in the mirror, and you make the first call, and it's like.
They hang up on you. They tell you never to call back again.
Right, right.
One of my first sales jobs, I'm calling into Fortune 500 companies asking the gatekeeper. That's what we call it, like the secretary or the front desk. And I'm asking to speak to the CEO. Mm-hmm. And it's, I also think it's kind of great when you just start sales because you're still so innocent about it in some ways, especially when you already think like you're all that in a bag of chips. It can help because your ego will take hits over and over. But I think when you have like a purpose, a reason, for me, it was I had just had my daughter and this, you know, my first job was allowing me to work from home after being like a teacher. And literally like 3 months later, we're in COVID.
Wow.
So it's like, this is before people were working from home. So I was already super grateful because now I could nurse. But then the world shut down. And it actually, I feel like, was one of the best ways to truly start sales, even though I did like magazine sales before. And that used to stress me out, like telemarketing, like, oh, yep. Like, hi. And the salesperson going, no means go to work. And I'm like, okay, I'm going back to college now. But yep. I think this job, especially at that time in the world where people were at home, people were answering their phones a little more because they were, you know, their secretary wasn't in office and they don't know who to put through. And I didn't even think about it literally until this moment about how fortunate I was to be able to hone this skill and hone the thick skin that comes from so much rejection that I don't think some people go through this much rejection to their ear or to their face in like their whole lives. But it just, it builds you and it builds your business.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we can mentor someone else because whatever we went through or going through, there's somebody ahead of us, right? And then there's someone coming behind us. So
1,000,000%. I always say I stand on the shoulders of giants. My undergrad degree from Temple University.
All right.
Is in African American studies and sociology. It's the first college to offer the PhD in it. And I think this is perfect. It's kind of one of those perfect, like, full circle moments, because a lot of times when you do like liberal arts or the arts, people go like, what job are you going to get with that?
Right, right.
What are you learning with that? Like, how are you going to make any money? You got a useless degree. That's why you're stuck with student loans. And it's lovely to be able to say that liberal arts degree taught me how to understand people. Even more importantly, it taught me how to understand myself. And I think when you have like that unshakable core, like that thing that sits in you that you know your worth and yourself worth resides with you, it gives you that kind of armor to go out and do cold calls, to go out and do sales, to start a business, because in a lot of ways I feel unshakable. Have you experienced anything like that, or is that how you get the courage to start all of these businesses?
Yes. Yeah. And just because sometimes I know my dad, he was an auto body man and he worked at a car dealership painting cars. But so when he retired, then he started, you know, doing the cars at home. And so he just always, you know, seemed like to do something, and you know, with the cameras, right? My father is dead now, so he would have been 100 something years old. I forgot the actual number.
Wow.
But 104, I think he would be, 105. He used to go videotape events. And this is, you know, later in life. And so he started the business, and, you know, I designed business cards for him or whatever. And then one day he said to me, you know, you have a real business. I'm like, Daddy, you have a real business. And, you know, but it's like, how, you know, because things come natural, we have a tendency not to respect it as, you know, what it is. I mean, he did that and did, I mean, weddings, funerals, parties, you know, regular events or graduations, and he kept up with the technology. Okay, so if he was here now, he would have a good cell phone with a good camera. So because when he started, he had the big giant TV cameras to put on his shoulders, and he had a title machine. I mean, you know, so So sometimes the stuff just comes natural, and that happens for me as well. But then I stop and I look. It's like, why did I look? So then here comes the fear, the imposter syndrome. You know, will people buy this thing? This stuff is stupid. You know, or all that negative self talk comes in. But you know, the find of you, like you say, you talk to a therapist, or you know, find somebody like mind that you can confide in. And it may not always be your best friend, or it may not always be your sister or your brother. It may be a total stranger, you know, someone on the outside, but still maybe in a group that, you know, that a group of marketers or something. Because people, from the outside looking in, people see, they see our value and our worth before we do sometimes. Mm. But our innocence, you could use that word, as a child or coming up, you just do things. I mean, I was the class president or something in elementary school, and my aunt taught at the school. And I didn't think anything of it. I was just, you know, they voted me in, right? I was the class president. And so my aunt, she taught in school, like I said. So then she had told my mother, and it's like, well, why do you tell me? So, oh, I didn't think it was that. It's crazy. I didn't, you know, just didn't think about it, because you just do it. But we do have to find our core and get our confidence. So, and once you, you know, be serious about it.
Yes, you are dropping so many gems. I love this conversation, because one thing you said that was super important is that you saw your dad having a business. And I think, again, like, representation is so important, and also household representation. Seeing your parents, you know, having a business shows you immediately, but it shows you immediately that, of course, you can run a business, because I grew up in a house full of entrepreneurs business owners.
Yeah.
And I think that you also really pointed out something that is key. So listen in again, in case you miss that the thing that comes easy to you does not necessarily come easy to anyone else. And it's easy for us to overlook that, because it's so simple to us, then it must be simple to everyone else.
Yeah.
Or you even get bored of it, because it's, you don't have to think about it. But that thing is your superpower. That's the thing people want to hear you speak about.
Yeah.
It's what they want to read your book about. It's what they'll pay you for in your business.
Yep, that's it, Makeda. Yes, yeah. Yeah, and so take that and build on it. Build on it. Don't bury it.
Absolutely. And what I do want to dive into is, what are your courses? What do you teach about, and how does the course process work for you? Because I'm going all down that rabbit hole too. And I'm like, I took the Amy Porterfield masterclass earlier, and I'm taking her boot camp. And I'm just like, I want to do a course. I didn't know almost that you could do this. And now it's like a whole world opened up.
Yes, it does. And I'm glad to see you're taking the master classes and going to workshops, because when I first started, I didn't do that, again, the daddy thing. And this goes back to to having the nail studio. But I always had the marketing business, and it was before Salon Loft became a household name or a thing, so to speak, or a concept. I was in a salon and a spa before, you know, as an individual contributor. But when I got my own, I was in this building, and it was a plumbing business, and he had an upstairs. It was church in there before the church moved out, so they had individual little rooms. And so he had advertised, of course. And so when I went in there, there were stylists behind each little door, and there was another nail tech behind another door. So then I came in, and we all had our own businesses. But so that short story to make it long story, make it short.
Yeah.
They came to me, you know, because I was a marketer. They always asked me questions or whatever, and I gave freely, and I designed flyers or stuff for them. Of course, they paid for that, or they bought, you know, trinkets to give away to their customers. But one day had it come to me to do courses. And I wrote it down, okay, out of my sleep and by the dressers before we had the notepads and the phone, you can just dictate to the phone. Okay, write this down, take a notes here or whatever. and I wrote down the five titles. So it'd been like five courses or five sections of a course or modules. And I looked at that thing and I was like, literally like, I can't do that because I'll never have any time to do anything. Because by then I went back to work too. Same week my studio got, what is that thing called? Inspected and passed that. I took a job that Thursday. So from Tuesday to Thursday, I was employed full time and had a physical business that I had to go to and work at in the evenings and the weekends. So that, it was kind of crazy. But anyway, so I was complaining to myself and like, what am I going to be able to have time? The only time the stylists and stuff can take class is on Sunday and Monday when they're closed, you know, Sunday or Monday and Tuesday. And I just was so ignorant. And I'm thinking about it, I'm like, so I told God that his idea, that I'm not going to do it, right? And he gave it to me. But I, that didn't come to me until like years later. And I was like, oh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. but I did all the like research, did all the research on because everything was online then too. So research, you know, what is asynchronous? What is synchronous and online learning, the different learning styles. I never wanted to be a teacher. So you're a teacher. My mother was a teacher. My auntie was a teacher. My two sisters was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. Great aunt was a teacher. I don't know, maybe from slavery, you know, they was in Africa, whatever they came from. They were teachers. Probably. I don't know. But I know I didn't want to do it. You know, I was like, well, and I tried to force myself into it when I first went to college with the associates. And it was like, okay, so what kind of teacher can I be? I played the piano. Okay, I could be a music teacher. But then my mother didn't want me to go downtown. I was 16, so I was too young. So, you know, so I had to go to the other campus and they didn't have the program. So whatever. But I ended up, you know, I did have interest in journalism and advertising. I know I'm like going all off and to get back to the courses. So anyway.
That is how it happens. This is the entrepreneur's journey. This is what happens in our head. I know you're supposed to focus, but those insights are insights and they help inform the conversation. It helps inform the decision. So I'm loving it over here.
Okay, thank you. Oh my goodness. So fast forward back to the courses again. So I've done all the research. It comes out. And so that part of me, that's my anal part. So I have this, my brain is always fighting. So my mom is all organized. She's creative, but she's organized, of course, because she was a teacher, right? And so I have that part. And so learning how the industry, you know, like you said, this adult learning. And even when I, you know, was in the job, I did continued education there. So I took their adult learning program. Then it was called like train a trainer. Basically, so you'll be training other trainers. So I had that part, but you learn how to teach as well other, you know, adults, because basically our courses, like what you're doing, we're teaching adults. So, but so you still have to learn how, you know, how to teach them. So that's pretty much. And so I did that and I ran all the numbers in an Excel spreadsheet. Okay. So that the market, it was a niche market and it still is. Of cosmetologists and barbers, because they had to get the CE credits. So they had to take classes other than the crafts. So they still had to do hair, skin, or nails, which, you know, whatever their license was in. But then they had to get a certain amount of hours outside of that. And so I had put together an 8-hour course that they, you know, had to, you know, they had to get, they had to pay for it. And so I had a built-in market. You had, you know, to pay to be a part of that. And they give you the mailing list. And so that was like super califragilistics, espialidocious, you know, sitting in front of you. But then, like I said, sometimes you don't know really what's in your hand and then you think about it. So I like, so get back to the spreadsheet. So say for instance, it was 120 or 1,000 licensees in the state of Ohio. I'm in Ohio. So you figure 10% of those, that is 12,000. 1% is 1,200. I could even get 5% and still, and I looked at the spreadsheet, Makeda, and I saw 7 figures. That scared the mother. So I had posted something the other day and said, it scared the fat out of me. It was like, I was done for. And I froze. And it wasn't like people were spending thousands of dollars. It was between $79 and like $147 or whatever it was, because I had it spread out like in 3 different specials, even $49, $79 or whatever, based on the number of hours. And so But it's all my knowledge. So they're, like I said, they have their craft classes. So just whatever you, whatever your knowledge is in business for your strategy, that's what the courses are. So it's my knowledge and broken up into 8 hours. So 1 hour may have been, I had marketing one, marketing two. So I split it up. And so for that, communications, which is the customer service, I have, I did videos, so learn how to do like self-promotions and things like that. So in there is like how to like do like a quick commercial. And so I had all kind of stuff in there. And now, of course, you know, the things need to be updated. So doing updates so you can get your artificial intelligence in there and podcasting. That's the other thing. So it's been a rough ride. So I had put that down and then by the time I got started back, was one Thanksgiving when my nieces were sitting around the table. It was way after dinner, whatever. And I said, oh, what y'all doing? We're going to, what are you doing? We're doing an accountability group or something like that. So I was scared. I said, okay, I'll be part of that because I had to say what I was going to do and do what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
And so it was the course because the court, like I said, I had it out there and was scared. So I put it in there shaking in my boots with the kids. This is like stupid. You know, it's not really stupid. that's where we are because you think, oh, my God, if I put this in writing and a little, even though it's a little chat group on our phones, I have to come through. And so by the time it happened, I said, I'm going to do it. And I went back and reviewed everything. And sent the application off, to the State Board of Cosmetology for Ohio. And so then that February, okay, I didn't tell you that was 2019, did I?
No.
So this is the caveat. So by I got the approval back February 6th or 7th, whatever the date was, 2020, 30 days later. Uh-huh. So it's like, if I could turn back the hands of time. And thank God, please forgive me. Can we start this over again? I sold some courses and things, but as the year kept bouncing forward, and their requirement for those auxiliary or whatever hours were getting less and less. Mm-hmm. And now I'm still there, but I have three other states that I applied for that I'm able. So I have four states now that I can offer to. Some of them are just for instructors. Two of the states are for instructors. And that's our, train-to-trainer piece in there. And then the other one is, just a regular licensees. But now it's an uphill battle. I'm begging God, can you please like restore the years the locust ate up? Because I was stupid. I was the locust and I ate up my own field.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. First of all, you dropped so many, like this is a diamond mine happening and I really want to break it down in real time. Are you going to go with me here? Okay.
All right. I'm going with you.
So one thing you pointed out was accountability to self. That's what came to my mind when you said it, because you're like, if I go into an accountability group or I tell other people I'm going to do it, then I have to actually do it. And it hit me because I'm a person who likes to be like, I'm accountable to myself. I'm self-motivated. I'll do it. And it's like, usually people as a species, we need some form of accountability. I'm even thinking about like a book club that I'm in. And I read the book very quickly because now it was like, I have to discuss it with other people versus like, oh, it can sit there for a few weeks. It's accountability. And it makes me think of like group coaching and togetherness and why this is like, I think it's increasing in its popularity because we want connection.
Yes.
But a really big thing you dropped that mind-blowing for me was you picked your course based on regulations and based on compliance and based on something that people have to do. And that is genius. And I've heard of it or I've seen it, but like when you pointed it out and then the replicating a certain business model, like you did it in Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but really, you did it in Ohio. Now you're doing it in two other states. And like building on success. Like if you find something that is successful, you replicate that. You don't then split your focus and go do 10 other things all the time. And yeah, I think that that hit me and it'll hit the audience. And then the last thing that really hit me from that was you did those spreadsheets and you saw those numbers. And I want everyone right now to go do 1,000 times 1,000. I want you to think about what you get if you get 1,000 people or 1,000 orders that is $1,000. That is $1,000,000.
Yes.
And that is not that difficult. That is not that hard. I'm a person who truly believes everyone should be millionaires. I think that we have the ability. I think that I believe that as well, because some people just aren't going to do the work.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. So, but it's, I think sometimes it's just about even having that nugget of knowledge in your head, just that kernel. And if you're listening to this podcast, you have that. You are interested in wealth. You're interested in time freedom. You're interested in spending time with your family, with yourself, on vacation, at the beach, whatever. And you're interested in agency and sovereignty and having control over your life, because you know that it is not infinite. We are here for a short time, and it is way too short to spend it doing things you don't want to do.
That's right. Oh my goodness. Yes. So if I could say anything, get up off of it and do it. Find an accountability partner. Find somebody that's going to like nudge you, kick you in the butt a little bit. Don't hurt them. But, you know, give you that encouragement and motivation, because sometimes, like, it goes back to what you said earlier about things that come easy to us and go into that. And just because it's easy doesn't mean that it's not important or that it won't make an impact, because that was, like you said, that was the gift that you were given. So it can give back to you.
You heard it from Audrey the Tech Diva Wiggins. That is the gift that was given to you. And like, do not disrespect your gifts. Do not disrespect whatever source or higher being you believe in by then ignoring that gift. And you know you're ignoring it. You know when you're ignoring it. You know when you're not in alignment, when you're not being authentic. You know. So don't be like, well, how am I supposed to know? Or to your point, that's easy for me to know. So maybe you need to go find a class, or maybe I'll make a class about how you can know if you're being authentic, because that is something that comes very easy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You should do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And trust me, there's a course for everything. So anything.
I know. It's crazy. Oh, gosh.
But that's because there's no one else that's you.
Yeah.
You could be saying, so as Audre Lorde says, I love me some Audre Lorde. She says that there are no new thoughts or ideas, just different ways of expressing them.
That's right.
That is literally like a basic tenet of African cosmology. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people heard it the other way of there's no new thing under the sun.
Right.
But the way that you're saying it and the way that you're bringing it in your story is what colors it. And that is what people need. So there will never be enough courses. There will never be enough books. There will never be enough podcasts. There'll never be too many videos that you can't get up and do it. There will never be enough businesses. There is more than enough for everybody and some. All that's stopping you is you.
That's right. Yeah.
And what we would love to know, Audrey, is where can people find you? How can they support you? Is there anything else you want to make sure the audience knows?
Yeah. So if you go to my website, altogether.biz, there's a form on there to fill out so you can subscribe to our newsletter. And that comes out weekly. And I have actionable tips. We highlight, you know, overview for the podcast. And so there's things that you'll be able to, you know, some takeaways in there. So definitely want people to plug in into the website and get subscribed to the newsletter. And I'm on social media, so they'll be able to find me. But that would be that action item.
Awesome. And I will have all of this down in the show notes. So all you got to do is scroll down and you can click on it and subscribe to her newsletter, check out her podcast, and really just start your life yesterday. You do not want to be begging God in 3 years, in 5 years. Why didn't I do this then when I had the idea then? And that's all it ever takes. And you know, when it's sitting there, you don't even necessarily need to know what it is, but you know that there's something. I hope you repeat it and replay it, because the only thing stopping you is you. And we will see you next time on the Seed in Society podcast. Thank you for joining again.